today's service, and looking forward to a great day. I know as anyone who gets up and goes that way, y'all tackle them. There's food down there, so looking for a great day of worship and fellowship, and just glad to have everyone with us. If you're a visitor, we're proud to have you. If you're a longtime member, we're glad to have you back home this morning. Just make yourself at home. We've got a great service planned, and just looking for the Lord to show up this morning. We usually take prayer requests at this time, so that's what we'll do. We don't want to do any different. Does anyone have any prayer requests we need to remember before we go to the Lord in prayer?
Danny Smith that I work with, his daughter's got a
brain. Amen. Remember that. Any others?
Angela Ferguson.
Remember that one? If not, it's good to see everyone out this morning. We're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. We got a busy morning, so everyone would just pray with me. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the many blessings you blessed us with at New Harmony. God, we just ask for a great day in your house. Father, we ask that you show up as the main part. God, we just ask that you bless our singers. Father, just ask you bless the preaching. Father, and just bless everything that we endeavor to do here, God. And I pray that everything is done for your honor and your glory, for it's in your Son Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand and join us in our call to worship.
Thank you. Hi, ladies.
Hey,
questions, and we're going to see how well you know your mom. First off, would you tell everyone what your mom's name is?
Stephanie Morgan.
Okay. Oh, and I guess they would probably like to know who you guys are. So.
I'm Amberly.
I'm Abby.
I'm Ashlyn.
What is your favorite thing to do with your mom?
Shop.
Shop.
She's from the shop,
right? I mean, mine would probably be,
You like to bake with mom.
I like to talk. I like to sit there and, like, talk with her, like, in the bins, like, read, like, scroll through Pinterest and stuff with her.
That's pretty fun. I agree with that one.
Yeah? Okay.
Oh, I said I like to bake with
her. And you like to bake with her. Okay. You complete the sentence. My mom always tells me...
Say no to stupid.
Yes, say no to stupid.
My mom laughs when...
At everything.
Yes,
everything. And you can always hear.
I love it when my mom...
I like when my mom fixes my hair and makeup.
I love it when my mom, like, lifts me up, you know, like she always says, like, something that encourages me, you know.
Wait, what was the question again?
Wish she put it back in.
I love it when my mom.
I guess when she helps me bake.
Okay. If my mom had time, she would like to
go on trips. Mm-hmm. Spend a bunch more time with, like, our family and stuff.
Okay.
She does spend a bunch of time with our family, but she works a lot, and I think she wishes that she was with us more.
Okay. All right. Good job, girls.
Bye, guys. She does spend a bunch of time with our family, but she works a lot, and I think she wishes that she was with us more.
Okay. All right. Good job, girls. Hi, guys.
Hello.
It's Mother's Day, so we want to be sure and tell everybody that's watching our video what your mom's name is.
Misty Porter.
Okay. And tell the people what your names are.
I'm Blake Landon.
Blake and Landon. We're just interested to know... something that you love about your mom.
You want to go ahead?
Sure.
She lets us do pretty much whatever we want to, go wherever we want to, lets us do a lot of things. And she's always there for us too, when we need her the most.
Okay. If your mom had a whole day just to herself, what are some things that she would love to do?
First of all, she would take a trip with you and Amberly, go get her nails done, maybe manicure, pedicure, go shopping, probably Birmingham or Atlanta. And then, if she could, she would go to the beach and just relax for the whole day and then come back.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good. You let us know when we're going. Sounds good.
Can I tag them all?
Yeah. All of y'all are welcome. Grab a book. We're going to the beach. Okay.
So, all right. Name something that your mom is really great at.
Take a picture.
Yeah.
She is. That and, I guess it's really everything that she does. I mean, she finds out how to do it, and then, I mean, she can do whatever she puts her mind to, so.
Okay.
Is there something that your mom always says, or like some best advice that your mom has ever given you? Do both of those. Something that she says all the time, like something she says, and then maybe some of the best advice she's given you.
She always calls us our names, and she says our first and last name, you know, it's serious.
What it will be like when I walk by your side, I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence?
Said, well, just go ahead and play it however long it's got to be, because each one of them special and the people's not going to leave. We got food. So we're going to try not to hold you too long. I'll try to be as brief as I can this morning. That's dangerous when a Baptist preacher says that. You better go ahead and get prepared. But no, we're going to try to. And again, like to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. I know what they mean. They keep the world running. Keep the world on track. The mothers do. That's and in our day that we live in today, mothers have to do a lot that fathers should be doing. So we have really ought to love your mother. Let's give the mothers a big hand one more time. If you've got your Bibles, be turning to Romans chapter number 8. We'll begin reading in verse number 14 through 17. I know this is a homecoming to Mother's Day service, but I try to preach what the Lord has laid on my heart, and we'll be preaching more about fathers today for just a little bit than we will mothers, but we're going to be preaching about one father. That's our Heavenly Father, the greatest thing that's ever happened to any of us, and the Lord began working on me in Brother Terry's class Wednesday night. We was reading through Romans, and I began reading ahead of Terry a little bit, and Terry, I probably wasn't paying attention, I apologize, but the Lord got my attention on a word called adoption. And I began studying out the word adoption, and it's a pretty powerful word in our society we live in today. It's if you're adopted, you hold a lot of the same rights that that natural-born children do. But in the Roman times, in Rome, adoption held a much stronger meaning than we can ever imagine. And I began reading and studying a little bit about Romans chapter 8, verse 14, and it tells us that we're sons of God. And I began looking through different scriptures and everything, and some translations want to say that you through the spirit of adoption, you've been made children of God, and that reduces the strength is on this. I want you to understand this morning, that it's important that you realize that all people, if they're born into the family of God, have been made sons of God, because in that day, sons held a special meaning. They held they were special, ladies. I don't mean to put you down by no means. Y'all are way more important than we are, but in that Roman times, a son held a special place, and it was granted special things from the family. So it's important to understand that. But Romans chapter 8, verse number 14 through 17, says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Father, we thank you today for this word you've given us. Lord, we thank you for this crowd that's here this morning. Lord, I pray that you, for just a few minutes, you let us focus on your word. Lord, we know your word changes hearts, and Father, through this, we're grateful. God, we ask you to be with us, and let the furtherance of service be to honor and glorify you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. As I begin looking at this, I think it's important that we as sons of God, as children of God, begin understanding something and understanding our position. The position we have in God. And that's just what I was talking about, is being made of the sons of God. And I begin looking at this and understand the importance of it. And those of y'all that's been to college way more than I have, or most of y'all are way smarter than I am, you'll find out something. That has anybody ever heard of all the Caesars that ruled in Rome? All the Caesars, Julius Caesar, there was Caesars on top of Caesars over there. All these, did you know that most of them was adopted? Most of them was adopted. And this was so because maybe the ones who was born fleshly wasn't fit to be the king, wasn't fit to be a leader, so they would go out and they would find somebody who was fit to be a leader, and then what they would do is they would adopt this person. And then when they was adopted into the family, they held all the more standings even than the fleshly born children did. Now listen to this. Rome was a terrible place to live. In Rome, now my kids better be glad we didn't live in Rome. Because in Rome, you could actually disown your children for no good reason at all. If they didn't look like you think they did, or if they didn't wash the dishes misty, or go out and get the snakes off the porch or whatever, you could disown those children. But once these Caesars went out, or anybody else went out and adopted a son, guess what? You could not do away with that son. No matter how hard you tried, no matter what you did, he was in power. He held all the reins. He was made joint heirs with all the others. So it's so important to realize that when the Apostle Paul was writing this, God had him pin it down to these people in Rome and the meaning that this thing held. How important it was for the Scripture to tell us that as we are led by the Spirit of God, that we are being made the sons of God. And the Scriptures tell us that. How do we know that we belong to God? It tells us that the Spirit of God dwells in us. And if the Spirit of God dwells in you, I don't care if you're man, woman, boy, or girl, according to the Scripture, you have been made sons of God. And what that means is you've been given an heirship. You're joint heirs with Christ. You've been made equal to him in the kingdom. And but every single one of us ought to be excited this morning. But listen, these sons, they held a special place in society. They had the upper hand. Especially if they was born into the family of Caesar or adopted into the family of Caesar. Oh, the power they was given. And listen, this verse 15 says the spirit of adoption. And I told you a little bit about this Roman law, but how strong this thing was, and it could not, for any reason, the adoption could not be annulled. Now I want to tell you something today, friend. It's a great thing to know that as we are born into God's family, yes, it says we must be born again, and we're born again into the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And then after this, it tells us that we are led by the Spirit, and the Spirit shows us of why it's important to be into the spirit of adoption. Now listen, whenever we're born into the family of God, as we come by that spirit of adoption, we are not brought in as babes. You see, they didn't go out and they didn't adopt babes to be the successor to the reign over there in Rome, because babies obviously cannot reign. Babies cannot, they don't know the laws, they don't know what to do. Some of them can't even talk yet or different things. So what this is talking about is when we're put into the family of God, we're put in as grown sons. That's what the word adoption means in the Greek and Hebrew. It means adult son. And as of being adult sons in this thing, we've all been made heirs with God. And guess what? You ought to be shouting this morning because according to this, you are royalty. You are royalty. You've been born, adopted into this family of God. You've been given something precious and something that can't be taken away. And we ought to every single day thank God for this position He has put you in. Now, you may be here this morning. You may have never been into this family. I want to introduce you to a man named Jesus Christ who will gladly adopt you into this family. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God, when He begins drawing, that man can say yes or no. And at this point today, if He draws you, I pray that you'll say yes. And I pray that you become part of the family. I had a title for this message, and I was trying to rush a little bit, and I didn't say it. But my question was, for the title, is Are You Family? Is Are You Family this morning? It's the most important family that you'll ever be a part of is the family of God. It's more important than your common name. It's more important than being a part of New Harmony Baptist Church or any of that stuff. Knowing that you're a part of the family of God is the most important position you will ever hold. You may be the president of the United States. You may be the mayor of Heflin even. You may be the pastor of any church around and anything. But no position will ever be more important than your position as a son of God. You know why? Because eternal. One day, it may be, Brother Rudy may pass on, but one day he'll no longer be the mayor of Heflin. Either time will come or somebody will beat him. That's just how it works. Now we pray, we don't pray that he dies, but you know, all that stuff. But listen, one day I'll no longer be pastor of this church if time goes on. One day you'll no longer be that whatever you do for your career. You'll no longer be in that position. But once you are born into the family of God, you're put in a position that can never, ever be taken away. And that lets us know it by that spirit of adoption. So how important it is to realize that we're put in there as an adult son. And then I want to show you something else. It's how important it was. It don't matter what matters is who adopts you. The parent. I want you to think about the parent this morning that has adopted you. Not only the position you've been put in, but think about the parent. Now listen, it don't matter if you had somebody like me had adopted you, you would be no more than I could be. So you can only be who it is that has adopted you. When those Caesars adopted a young man, they become a Caesar. And by that name, they become royalty. So today, when I'm adopted by my parent, which is the Almighty God, which the Bible says we cry, Abba, Father, which in the Greek and Hebrew means Papa, which is a term of endearment. It's very close to them people over there. When we do this, we gain a parent who is the Almighty God. And by this parent, I am granted every single thing He owns. I become an heir to Him. I become part owner of everything He's got. And how important it is to realize today, you see, we get down and out. You'll go talk to people, and you'll say, why are you so sad? And the number one reason, and we found out why this is because every one of those kids that answered something, their favorite thing to do was shop. So it's no wonder we all say we're broke. So you'll ask somebody, what's wrong with you? And they say, well, I don't got no money. And then you'll ask somebody, well, why is this? Well, I just don't own anything. I don't have anything. Boy, I'm just down and out. I don't have a job. I lost my job. I don't have this. I don't have that. I want to tell you something. If you're a child of God today, you're an heir to everything. You're an heir to everything. You ought to be shouting and running. And boy, I tell you, Donald Trump could be giving out $1 million bills up there, and everybody would run and grab one. But today, there's pastors and preachers and teachers stand everywhere and fully give out the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people will turn and walk out those doors knowing He's pressing with their heart, knowing He's drawing them to Himself, and I can't understand for the life of me why they do that. Only thing I can think is they're, according to the scriptures, they're blind. We can't understand what it means to be a part of this family and how great this parent is. Have you ever stopped to think just what's been given to you by this parent? Now, though, the number one thing we'll think about is salvation. And yes, that's the most important decision we'll ever make. But think about this. How important, what it means to have an Almighty God as a parent. You see, I can remember back a time when I was a small child. And you know what would happen? I didn't want to go to school. You know why? Because I was attached to my mama. I didn't want to leave my mama. I wanted to stay with her. First day of school, they pulled me on there. One of them was pulling. My mama was pushing. And she would whoop me with a hickory. And I had to get me on the school bus because I didn't want to leave her. And I didn't want, you know why? Because she was good to me. I didn't know what was out into the rest of the world. I know what there was there at Mama's. And listen, I'm adopted by an almighty God who's got my best interest at hand. Everything I do and everything he does is about me and it's about you. And never is he going to ever do anything that's going to harm you. Any harm done, you bring it upon yourself. He is a perfect parent. We've heard these kids stand and say, they'll say, well, what has your mama taught you? And most of them said the political thing that we wanted to hear is that she taught me to be nice. When probably the truth be known, their mama may have taught them as how to beat somebody at something. Who knows? But listen, if we can go tell you, if we could ask you a question this morning, what is your parent? What is the Almighty God? What has he taught you through loving you? It ought to be that, hey, number one, that he is in control of everything. Number two, we need to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our body. Number three, we need to love others as ourselves. We've got a great parent. But you see, we tend to think that wealth is the most important thing. You could ask these kids, and I'm surprised they didn't say it, when you asked if you could give your mama anything, and most of our answer in today's society is wealth, is money. Is money, but listen, if I could give one of y'all anything, and once we become adults, we understand something, that it may take us getting 40, 50, 60 years old, we understand that money is not everything. But one thing that everybody, every single person in this country, in this world, longs for, whether they admit it or not, is to be loved and to be accepted. To be loved and accepted. You go to these shelters where these women have been beat on, where they've been mistreated, and you ask them, what do you want? I promise you, a $100 bill will not be their answer. You ask them, what would you long for? And it will not be a mansion on a hill. You ask them what they long for, the number one thing was to be loved. Would to be loved by somebody and to be cared for by somebody. And the second thing would be accepted by somebody. They want to be accepted. Just like we desire that every single person in our society longs to be accepted by others. And by our family. Listen, adoption is real. We've all got members that have been adopted in our families. I've got some in my family. You've got some in yours. And listen, these people deal with this all their life because they feel that they have not been accepted. I want to tell you something today. If you are born into the family of God, may I tell you that you've been accepted by the only one that matters, the Almighty God. So listen, and I'm rushing this morning, but your position and your parent, why don't you look at your promise? Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Look at this promise. Boy, it'll make a Baptist shout this morning. And if children, then heirs, not just any heir, but heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so there be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. According to this verse, verse 17, I've been made joint heirs with Christ. And I don't know about you, but I don't know anybody else I'd rather be a joint heir with. Because he owns everything. Because he owns everything. I own everything. When I was studying for this, I become overwhelmed there. I studied in my office that according to this scripture, I own a part of everything in this universe. I own a part of that sunshine. I own a part of those stars. I own a part of this earth, this dirt, everything, this air I breathe. I own a part of it because I've been adopted into the family of God. And I've been made joint heirs with Christ. And listen, if you don't think being a joint heir with somebody is important, you wait till somebody dies, brother, and then we get all tore up, don't we? Why does most families get in fusses after a dad or a mother passes away? And you know the answer to this. It's because so-and-so got more than I did. Or so-and-so got more than he deserved. Oh boy, it split families for years. It's done it in my family. It's probably done in your family. But I want to tell you something. That in the family of God, if you belong to him, you make joint heirs with Christ. It don't matter how good you are. It don't matter how bad you've been. If you've trusted him as your Savior, you've been made joint heirs. Listen, what else is great? It promises that the Spirit prays for us. Listen, we don't even know what to pray for ourselves. Look at verse 8, chapter 8, verse 27. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He makes intercession for us. Listen, because we join heirs with Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in us. And even when we don't know what to pray, even when we're down and out, sad and all tore up, and have no idea what to do, the Spirit of God goes before him on his throne. He makes intercession or acts as a lawyer for me and you. He acts as a mediator between us and God and bringing to God our needs, you see, because I don't even know what I need. You don't know what you need, but the Spirit of God that dwells your heart and knows all things, he knows exactly what you need. Think what a promise this is. He prays for you. Listen to verse 30. It says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, him he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Hey, you've been justified. According to the scripture, it's just if you had never sinned. You've been made clean before a holy God. You've been glorified between the whole, by a holy God. But through the death of his son, you have been made perfect. I don't care what you say, well, preacher, you don't know what I've done in my life. No, and you don't know what I've done either. But one thing I know for sure is you ain't done nothing so bad that the blood of Jesus Christ cannot cleanse you. You've not done anything so bad that God cannot clean you up. I've never saw anybody in the scripture that he said, hey, brother, you went too far. I'm not going to save you. The only sin, according to scripture, that cannot be forgiven is the rejection of Jesus Christ. Other than that, you can be forgiven. I don't care how many people you killed. I don't care how many people you stole from or any of this other stuff. If you come to him, he will save you. If he's drawing you. If he tugs on that heart, you can be saved. You can be saved. So who he calls, he justifies. Listen to verse 31 and verse 32. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, that'll be enough right there to make us run. How many of us, you don't have to raise your hands because I'm not raising my hand, but how many of us feels like the whole world is against us sometime? We do. It seems like we can't win. We go to the doctor. We get bad news here. We go to work. We get bad news. And we all have days when it seems like that things are just more than we can handle. I've had some of them. I told you about my daughter that's about 17. She's wrecked every car we own. And I remember the last wreck she had. After you see all of them say, they think because you're a preacher, you got to be perfect. And that when the phone rings, I see it her, I've always already wondering how am I going to get the car out of the ditch. So whenever she called that last time, I began thinking, number one, my mind says, well, she's talking, so she's not dead. She's talking, so she's probably okay. And then she begins talking, and then the next thing that comes to my mind is, I wonder where she's at. And then the next thing that comes to my mind is, this girl has tore up everything we own. She's tore up everything we own. But listen, all that's comical. But when all that happens, I was driving up there to get that car out of the ditch up there at Piedmont. Brother Marty was up there with her. When I got there, and I went the long way on purpose so I'd cool off. Because I said, you don't need to go up there with church people there and make a fool of yourself. So I went the long way. I went the long way through. And y'all know where, boy, you get on some weird stuff preaching. I went down County Road 55. It goes from Borden Springs area, I call it, all the way over to Highway 9. If you got about 45 minutes to kill, want to see nothing, go down that road. So I went that way. And on that way, God began speaking to me, thinking, boy, you got everything. You've got everything. That wasn't nothing but an old, wore-out pickup truck that's in the ditch. Your daughter's okay. You've got a wife. You've got a family. You've got a job. You've got a great church. You've got everything. What in the world is wrong with you? You see, if God be for us, who can be against us? When the whole world comes, when the whole world comes against you, you can be assured that if he's for you, nothing else can be against you. Listen to this. I want you to listen. If you hear nothing else I say today, hear this verse. If you hear nothing else, hear this verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how should he not with him also freely give us all things? If he cared enough about you to give his only begotten son to save something as sorry as me and you, why do we believe that he's going to throw us out there for nothing? Why do we think that he's going to leave us? Why do we think he's going to forsake us? Why do we think that he's done with us because we messed up here, we messed up there? I want to tell you something. If he gave his only begotten son for me, I can be pretty rest assured that he is going to keep me. And he is going to give me all things. Listen, he's not going to give me everything I want, but bless God, he's going to give me everything I need. I don't believe any of us in here have ever went hungry. I don't believe we have. If you're a child of God, he promises you, you will not go hungry. He promises you will not go without something to wear. You may not be what you want to wear, may not be what you want to eat, but he promises us that we'll have everything we need. Why do we even have to worry? We should never worry. If God be for us, who can be against us? And if he gave his own son for me, why in the world I think he's not going to give me everything else? But I worry, and you worry. Boy, I had to keep going. I was going to stop here because I knew it was going to be out of time. But listen, you got to read verse 37 and the rest of them. Verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. You've got the power through adoption to overcome every obstacle. More than conquerors. It don't say you can conquer one thing, you're done. It don't say you can conquer the smallest task or the biggest task. It says you are more than conquerors. In other words, you're better than the best conqueror they've ever been. You've got the most power living in you that you can't imagine, and you've got no need to worry. You've got no need to be down and out. You've got no need for any of this stuff because you belong to the family of God. Listen, you could belong to the Morgan family, and you ain't going to have too much.
Amen.
We don't have much money. We don't have that nice of stuff. We don't have none of that. We sure don't own any thrones. We don't own any kingdoms. We don't own any of this other stuff. But let me tell you, and when you belong to the family of God, you're more than conquerors because you own everything. And an heir of it. Verse 38 and 39. For I'm persuaded. Whew, this gets better and better. I know there's pie waiting on us down there. For I'm persuaded. Paul's saying that there's nothing in his mind that's going to change this. He says, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, some of y'all that believe, I don't mean that as a big figure of the world. There's some people believe that once you come to God that he can decide to do away with you. Well, brother, you show me what's in that scripture right there. It says, for I'm persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor power, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. And guess what? I'm a creature. You're a creature. According to him, once I'm adopted into the family of God, bless God, I cannot be undone with. He said, and I'm persuaded of this. I'm made sure of this, that nothing can separate me from Jesus Christ. I'm into the family of God, and ain't nothing you can do about it. You cannot get me out of it. Cannot. Why? Because I'm kept by the power of God. Nothing. I'm persuaded, as Paul says, neither death nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor angels, nor nothing. Stuff that ain't even happened yet can't do it. Boy, when I read height, Rudy, I was thinking, I'm glad I'm short still. Even if I was tall, it couldn't separate me. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. I want you to understand one thing as we close. I know it's been kind of short and scattered this morning, trying to fit it all in. But I want you to make sure of something before you leave this building. You make sure that you're part of this family of God. You make sure you're a part. I'm not talking about a part of New Harmony Baptist Church family, although we love to have you. And I believe it's important even to be a part of a local church. But what's more important than any decision you ever make, more important than who you'll marry, more important than what position you'll hold in life as a supervisor or anything, more important than this, is if you are part of the family of God. Because all this other stuff is passing away. But being a part of this family of God is eternal. It's eternal. Listen, it's not popular and it's not preached a lot in churches today. But if you die without Jesus Christ, eternal separation in a place called hell will be your home. That's the bottom line. That's the truth. I can say a million words. Us pastors try to make these sermons appealable to everybody. We try to make it fun. We try to make it entertaining. And listen, all we should do is get up here and read you the Word of God. It can do more than I can do in a million words. If I can't, I'll never compel anyone to come to Christ. It's done through His Word. I've saw some preachers that I think believe they can draw people to God. Listen, if you do that, it's a counterfeit. The only thing that'll ever draw a lost sinner to God is God. He does the drawing. He does the saving, and He'll do the changing. And friend, you have not done anything so bad that He will not accept you this morning. He is here, right here today, wanting you to be adopted. Wanting you to be adopted. You look at all these channels we see on TV. We go to these things, these Christian things. They've got all this, wanting you to adopt children. And it's great, but the simple answer is we can't adopt them all. Listen, God's here this morning. The God of the universe that owns everything with outstretched arms wanting to adopt you. Wanting to make you an heir. Will you accept this morning? Will you accept? If everyone would, please stand. Guys is going to play for sake of time this morning. You be honest with yourself. If there's anybody in this building that has not accepted Jesus Christ their Savior, I beg you to do it this time. I cannot change you. The Spirit of God can. I can show you a way.
Yeah.
This is your time. God spoke to your heart. You come. Don't let a crowd of people hinder you. Don't let pride. Pride will keep you down. Pride will keep you lost. Pride will keep you away from God. You don't let anything keep you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be
seated for just a second. Our just a few announcements this morning. You probably noticed you had another piece added on to your bulletin this morning. That's some information about our church that we have done.